You are listening to Insight here on Capital Public Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. The documentary film Becoming Incurable explores the lives of three people and how chronic incurable illnesses have impacted their lives. The film premieres this weekend in Sacramento, and we're joined by the filmmaker and director, Victoria Swan. Great to have you with us today, Victoria.
Hi, Randall.
And
great to be here.
Also, one of the film's three subjects, Karis Hill. She's a disabled activist living with, and I hope I'm going to pronounce this correctly, ankylosing spondylitis?
You got it.
Excellent.
Close enough.
And because it's long like that, a lot of people refer to it as AS.
Yes.
Welcome to Insight to you as well. Great
Thank
to have you. You here.
Great to be here.
So, Victoria, let's start with you. I understand the inspiration for this film comes from a family member.
Yes, my cousin Leo. He was diagnosed with dystonia, which is a neurological movement disorder. It's a lot like Parkinson's, but it affects different muscle groups in the body. It's different.
Causes like a spasm?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So he went through a transformation pretty much in his life. He is a father and a husband. And so in the film, we explore his life with him and his family. And I mean, as a family member, we all kind of saw the change that was happening with him. And
he's a healthy runner.
Yes. He was training to run a marathon before he became completely disabled. It was very progressive, and it happened. It felt like it happened out of nowhere, too. He was in the best physical shape in his life, and he was in his late 30s when this all happened. So he's still very young. He was 41 when we started filming the documentary.
And I believe we have some sound from, I think this is his wife talking, because
right.
He's in too much pain to
yes,
actually
he
be
can't
interviewed.
Speak. Yeah.
And so this is Leo. So he really looks good in there. You know, it's his best. When he just ran his first half marathon, he did 13 miles. So that was a really big accomplishment for him. The spasm on his stomach, so it makes him move forward. Here on his throat is just uncontrollable.
And what you're seeing there during that clip is him having one of those spasms where he's
yes.
leaning forward
yes.
and it's uncontrollable.
Yes, it's uncontrollable and it's ongoing. It never really stops. Sometimes it's more severe on days and sometimes it's not as severe.
And so he was your inspiration. How did you come to connect with the other two, including Karis?
Well, I had wanted to create a feature film for a while, but I didn't know when I wanted to create a film as big as Becoming Incurable. I knew I wanted to create a story about Leo for a while. I didn't know when to enter that the project itself. But after attending Sundance Film Festival in 2017, I think I was really inspired to make a broad project and explore the lives not only of my cousin Leo, but of two others. I think the magic number was three for me to envision making a feature film. So sorry, I'm
no.
a little nervous right now.
Oh, no, yeah, don't worry about it. You're doing really well.
I was following my friend. So I knew Sophia Webster from high school. I wasn't like a best friend of hers or anything. I was a high school.
And we've had Sophia on Insight
yes.
To talk about her Lyme disease
yes.
back in 2017.
Yeah, so in high school, we didn't know what she had. She wasn't diagnosed then. And then as I was following her on social media, I realized, wow, she's having this health journey around Lyme disease, and I have no idea what this illness is. I didn't know what any of these illnesses were really before taking on Becoming Incurable. So I decided I would meet up with her and discuss the idea of making
just,
this
like,
film.
Just like shoot her an email and say, would you be up for this?
Yes. And she was still living in Elk Grove at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was accessible for me to go back and forth from where I lived. And then soon after, a friend of mine got in touch with me and he knew that I was trying to make this documentary and looking for a subject. And so he recommended Karis Hill, who was at the time I think he pitched her as a disabled activist with a chronic illness called ankylosing spondylitis. And I was like, wait, say that again? What's that? And when I met with Karis, it was, I think we clicked instantly, and it was a privilege, and I'm just so grateful to have had everyone's yes from the very get-go to explore their lives.
Right. And Karis, I want to get to you and how you were misdiagnosed with AS for years, I believe. But before we do that, I do want to hear the piece from the 2017 interview with Sophia.
So it started with my feet. I started getting really bad pain in the bottom of my heels, and I wouldn't be able to walk for more than 20 minutes a day. So I had to shower sitting down, brush my hair sitting down. It was really hard to get around high school. And then little by little, more symptoms started cropping up. I started getting chronic migraines, fatigue, joint pain, bone pain, heart palpitations. Later on, when I was in college, I started getting cognitive impairments like brain fog. It was difficult to read and study. And it took doctors 4 years to get a diagnosis. So I did get diagnosed when I was 18 and a freshman at college.
So you can hear there, Sophia had a problem with diagnosis as well. And this comes up in the film because each person had this same problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Karis, can you tell us about your first symptoms and then subsequent misdiagnosis?
Right. So I've had symptoms of ankylosing spondylitis since I was 13, maybe even younger. And for me, it began with hip pain. I was a gymnast. I loved doing splits. And when I shared the pain, people were like, well, that sounds like arthritis. And at the time, it's like, you know, young people don't get arthritis, which we know is actually false. Young people get arthritis all the time. And pain progressed through my lower back in high school. I was actually a college athlete, and the only time I wasn't in pain was when I was moving.
And this disease is similar to arthritis, but it affects the spinal column?
It's a form of arthritis. So rheumatoid arthritis is an inflammatory form of arthritis, and so is ankylosing spondylitis. It's inflammatory in nature. A lot of people think about arthritis, which is, overuse, and all the old people get it, which is actually just one form of arthritis. So for me, it's it runs in families, so my dad also had AS. And growing up, I thought it was a man's disease, so we didn't even look at my symptoms as a possible, you know, well, you just have growing pains. That was
right.
What we thought it was. And so I was diagnosed in 2013 after an upper respiratory thing that just would not go away. And it turned out that that was inflammation in my lungs, and I couldn't breathe. Which led to the diagnosis. But I was undiagnosed for 13 years with symptoms.
How did getting the accurate diagnosis change your life?
So I hear from a lot of people that when they get diagnosed, it's a great moment because they finally know what they've been feeling for years. But for me, because my dad had it, I was heartbroken. My whole life just flipped upside down. And I assumed that's what I would be. I would become my dad. I would become this hunchbacked, disabled person in severe pain. And I've had to fight that a lot through my own journey. There are a lot of treatments available now that can slow it down and make my life better than his was.
You want to look good and present. You model, right?
I do. I model.
But at the same time, your disease could be invisible to somebody. You want people to know that you have this?
I do. AS is something that happens inside the body. I mean, you can look at me walking down the street and I look completely healthy. And I even have doctors who say that to me. You look really great.
And hence, what's the problem?
Right. And so it's hard for me to get access to accommodations sometimes because people think I'm faking it. But I want people to be aware that there are things going on inside that you can't see, and it's always there. I don't know what it's like to be without pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to sort of wear a mask so I can present myself in public and people will interact with me without always being sick. It's a weird balance of I want people to know I'm sick, but I also want to be treated like a human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough.
You are a self-described activist, right?
Mm-hmm.
This film, I imagine, is then a good vehicle for you.
It is. It is. It's a vehicle for me, but I think more importantly, it's the chronic disease as a subject overall.
Mm-hmm.
That we really need to talk about it as a country and as a world. It's one of the growing, most growing marginalized groups.
Yeah.
And it's affecting me personally, but I hear from people all over who message me on Facebook and tell me their stories. And it's an issue of knowing that we need to be heard.
Yeah. Victoria, when I was watching the preview for your movie, it's sad in the beginning, but then there does seem to be hope in this as well. Do you leave people a little bit upbeat?
Yes, I do. I think that's important to show the light at the end of the tunnel, right? These the subjects, Karis, Leo, and Sophia, they're navigating their life years after their diagnosis. And I think that millions of people would be able to connect with their stories, if not directly relate to their stories, because I think they're in having a lesser known illness. So illnesses like dystonia and Lyme disease and ankylosing spondylitis, people don't often have a clear path to diagnosis, to treatment, and to support. But when you do find that support, it's life-changing. And as a healthy, able-bodied person like myself, I think that's, to me, it speaks on a deep level, even though I've never been inside the body of a disabled or chronically ill person.
Yeah.
So
the title is incurable,
mm-hmm.
but manageable, or is that how you would describe these diseases?
I don't know. I don't know if I can answer that question at the top of my head.
Karis, for you?
Yeah.
I think it's chronic disease is something that changes every day. I mean, I wake up today, I didn't know what my body would be like. And so there are aspects where I'm managing with good treatments that weren't around 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But I also still very much live with a disease that's going to be with me until I die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's progressive. So yes, manage, but manage to a certain extent. And, you know, life is just going to keep going up and down. I will say that the movie ends on a really, really high point for me, and I won't tell the spoiler. People have to come watch it to see that.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And are there, because it's a lesser known disease, is it hard to get funding for treatments?
So it's hard to get funding, period. So funding for research.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know what actually causes ankylosing spondylitis. And treatments have only been around, specialized treatments for the disease have only been around since the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
And they're not even specifically for AS. They're for other diseases, and we've used them to treat AS.
I see, right.
I also just want to add that these diseases aren't rare. Dystonia, Lyme disease, ankylosing spondylitis, they're not rare.
Is there a call to action in the film?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, so towards the end of the film, I think I have a message about inclusion and recognizing stories that aren't often heard. And so even with people who have visible disabilities or physical chronic illness, well,
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
These stories are often invisible in the larger media.
Right.
So
when was the last time, you know, you saw a television show where somebody had what you have? You know?
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Filmmaker Victoria Swan, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the premiere coming up as
yes,
well.
Which is happening June 14th at 7 p.m.
At the Guild.
At the Guild Theater,
right?
Yes.
At 7 o'clock it premieres
yes.
right here in Sacramento.
Tickets still online.
And disability activist Karis Hill, thank you for being here and sharing your story as well.
Thank you.
very much appreciate that. That's Insight for today. I'm Randall White. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. Our technical director is Mark Jones, and today's engineer is Antonio Munez. Our senior producer is Helen Barrington. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. We are back with another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.